back to the NFL playoffs. I want to thank Jim Beattie for joining us on the Major League Hot Stove. Seth Joyner, who's busy training a lot of guys for that that testing that goes on. Seth, before we talk about the playoffs, let's talk about that. Tell me about how sophisticated college players are getting in terms of getting ready for their testing and increasing and maximizing their value for the draft.
Well, I mean, I think they've realized that everyone knows what they can accomplish on the field, position. Obviously, you want to be one of the best at your position. Thereby, you know, if a team needs has a need for, say, a linebacker, and you're the number one linebacker, then more times than not, you're going to be the first linebacker picked. So, you know, the guys have gotten smart. You know, they go in, they work on their 40 times, they work on their starts, they work on, you know, their vertical leap, you know, and all those different things. You know, just trying to give themselves the best, you know, the best chance that they can to go in and outcompete all the other players at their position.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time. We're going to be joined by Howie Long in a little bit, but let's talk about some of these matchups. You're a little bit less confident in the overall talent of that Saints defense. It's as if their outstanding offense has prevented people from seeing those weaknesses as well. Tell me what you think about the matchup of a Deuce McAllister against that Bears defensive front without a Tommy Harris, without a Mike Brown.
Well, I you know, obviously last week, you know, the Bears kind of struggled trying to maintain any kind of force as far as the defense is concerned. And sure, you know, when you lose a guy like Tommy Harris, when you lose a guy, you know, Mike Brown is what Bob Sanders is to the Indianapolis Colts. You know, he's a guy that's going to walk down. He's going to be that eighth guy in the box and running situation. And when you're missing two of your top players, that makes life a little more difficult for everyone else. Now, granted, you're only as good as your backups, and those guys who step in have got to get the job done. But, you know, all things being equal, you'd like that those guys were high-round draft picks. Those guys were starters for a reason. And you got to believe that they're going to want to control the flow of the game. And, you know, they're going to get a steady dose of Deuce McAllister between the tackles, and you're going to get a steady dose of them moving Reggie Bush around, trying to get him balls in certain situations, trying to get him his touch. I think, you know, the two-headed monster that they've got working, you know, is really a great recipe for Drew Brees to, you know, throw the ball with success.
Well, let's talk about the fact that this very successful Saints offense was playing without Joe Horn, who's probably going to be back this week. You add him to Marcus Colston and Devery Henderson, and you're matching them up against Tillman, Ricky Manor Jr., and Nathan Basher. How's that match up for you?
Well, I mean, to have Joe Horn back is huge, because once you get to your three wide receiver sets and you want to get vertical with the ball, those three guys can cause a lot of problems for you. You know, without him last week, you know, it was a little more difficult for Drew Brees to look down the field and complete passes. But I can imagine, you know, when they really want to spread it out, they really want to get Reggie Bush in open situations, you know, with those three guys, it's going to cause a lot of stress. You know, Chicago's held up all year long very well. I think if they can continue, if they can get pressure, they can get pressure with the front four, I think, you know, they'll be fine in the secondary, because the secondary and that defensive line, you know, work hand in hand. You know, any defensive lineman will tell you that. You know, any defensive lineman worth his beans will tell you that. And any DB worth his beans will tell you that when the guys are getting pressure up front, it makes the secondary look good. And when the secondary is covering well in the back, it makes the guys up front look well. So, you know, if they can get pressure, if they can get good pressure with just the front four, then that bodes well for their defensive backs. And if their defensive backs, you know, can kind of get a read on what's going on and at least stay close enough, you know, to make Drew Brees either have to make the close fit or make him check, you know, go all the way to his third read in his progression, well, then that's going to be a big plus for that defense, their front four.
With the speed of the Chicago Bears defense, how does that match up if they do what they've been doing, which is mixing it up very nicely between McAllister and Reggie Bush? How's that speed match up against Reggie Bush?
Well, I think with Reggie Bush, you have to realize where he is at all times. You got to realize that when he's in the game, he's an integral part of what they're doing. I just don't think that Reggie Bush is the type of player, when you're in spread formations or when he's lined up as a wide receiver, I don't think he's the type of guy that you ever leave one-on-one with someone or you play zone him on the field. I think that you have to have two guys on him. You've got to have one guy that's on him right now, and you've got to have another guy that's coming. You got to double him because he's a huge difference maker. I mean, the guy's so quick, got so much movement, and he's so fast that, you know, the first guy, most of the time, he's going to make that guy miss. But the first guy just go ahead and takes a shot and can slow him down enough for the second guy. You get there and make the play, you stand a better chance. But I think that what they have to do, you know what you're going to get out of Deuce McAllister. They're going to move Reggie Bush all over the place. And as they move him all over the place, I think you have to have a separate package for when he's in the game. Because they move him and they put him in predictable, what I would see is predictable situations, because where they move him, they're putting him there for a specific reason. So you got to study enough film and understand how they're trying to attack you and how they're trying to use him and have your defenses set up to combat that.
Talking with Seth Joyner, former All-Pro linebacker for the famous Buddy Ryan Eagles, and you cut your teeth there, and with all the other teams you played for and the Super Bowl ring you got, I know that the attitude of that defense, its overall strength and power and aggressiveness, you know, was, I think, what you were most proud of. But let's talk about the other side of the ball now in this matchup between the Saints and the Bears, because it doesn't strike me that the Saints linebackers have the same kind of speed across the field as the Bears do. So now, to me, your strategy is you've got, if you're the Bears, you have got to get Thomas Jones and Cedric Benson the way they were last week, establishing that run so that the pressure's not on Rex Grossman. Because of that, he was able to go deep to Bernard Berrien in the game, get his confidence going. Tell us about that matchup between the running backs of Chicago, who have been surprisingly efficient, versus the Saints.
Well, I tell you what, I'm really shocked. You know, when I look at how Chicago chose to attack that game last week, I was really shocked that they chose to take the route that they took. I guess, you know, as the offensive coordinator sits back and they're putting together the game plan, everybody's saying, well, you know, hey, Rex, you know, everybody's expecting us, you know, to hand the ball off, you know, 20 times to Cedric and 20 times to Thomas. You know, you're only going to throw the ball down the field maybe, you know, 15, 20 times. Well, they came out and Rex Grossman put the ball in there, I believe it was 38 times last week. Who would have thunk that after the way he finished up the season, that they would have turned around and put the ball in the air that many times, you know? And what it's done is created a lot of confidence as far as, you know, Rex is concerned. But I think with the pressures of this game and what all that's involved, I think they have to get a running game going. I think they kind of caught, I think they caught their opponent off balance last week because they kind of felt like, you know, they were going to come out and run the ball. But I think they have to come out and run the ball this week because the pressure is just going to be just a little bit higher. And, you know, hey, let's face it. I think, you know, it's been my observation that the Saints' defense, you know, their best defense has been the fact that their offense has been so potent all season long. When you're playing, scoring a lot of points and you're playing well on the offensive side of the ball, it's very easy to play defense. I'd like to put them in a situation where they really have to prove and show just how good they are. And I think that if they can keep the game close early and run the ball early and often, I think they'll put that pressure on the Saints defense and the Saints linebackers for that matter.
Well, my vote's still with the Saints. I just think that, like the Patriots, they're a team that takes advantage of other teams' mistakes. They make less themselves. Here's Michael Strahan from Monday's show talking about the Patriots.
Thing you want to do when you're in a situation like that, keep the game close. Just keep it close to the fourth quarter. If you can tie it up in the fourth quarter, then you give your team confidence. You know you have a chance to win at that point. Just don't let it get out of hand. And the Patriots are the best in the business, and Bill Belichick makes sure that his team understands that 100%. And no matter what the score is, that team continues to go after you and go after you. But when it counted the most and they really needed that pressure, they just didn't get it on Brady. I mean, I think the offensive line picked it up. The Patriots understand how to play when the pressure's on in those type of situations because they've been in it many times before. And, you know, about Merriman and the pressure to get some hits and all those things, one thing that Belichick is great at and one thing Parcells before him and all the coaches in and under that type of system is they look at how to take out the best guy on both sides of the ball.
Exactly. There you have it. So in our last minute before we go to a break, tell us about, as you look at the Patriots in this game, and we won't talk about the quarterback matchup right now, but let's just go with the way that they game plan. Bill Belichick is completely rewriting his tactics for this game. How do you see this game?
Well, I think, you know, Michael hit it dead square on the head when he talked about how they neutralized Sean Marion. Yeah, they ran a lot of spread sets to the side, you know, through motion to the side where he would be A, and then B, you know, you saw Tom Brady take a lot of time at the line of scrimmage to clarify and make sure that the protection was proper. What they wanted to do was make sure they put an offensive tackle on Sean Merriman in blocking situations rather than having a tight end have to block him or a running back have to block him. Well, the challenges they're going to face this week is that Matheson and Freeman are both defensive ends, you know, and these guys can get up the field, they can power rush, they can do a lot of different things. I think what you'll wind up seeing is that Bill Belichick and Tom Brady will probably run a lot of screens at both of these guys and obvious, you know, passing situations to try to take advantage of the fact that they like to get a lot of pressure up the field quick right now. And when you get up the field that fast, you know, you leave lane. So it'll be interesting. So I think it's going to be a great chess match. Both of these teams know each other very well. They've played each other numerous times, but it'll just... it'll be interesting to see how the second match plays itself out throughout the course of the game.
Absolutely. When we come back, Seth Joyner with some more comments, then we'll be joined by Howie Long, and then next, Luke Jensen on the Australian Open, only on Head Games on Sports Byline on Sirius Channel 120.